Amen. Thank you, singers and instrumentalists, for blessing our hearts today. God bless you. Great job. Always a joy to be together on Easter Sunday. I missed it last year. I'm glad we're here today. If you have a copy of God's Word, if you would please open to Luke chapter 24. We'll look at verse 6 as our springboard verse this morning. Luke 24, verse 6. A message I've entitled, What Easter Proves. What Easter Proves. And I want to say welcome to those of you who are watching in the gym. God bless you. And God bless those of you watching at home as well. Thank you for your tuning in today. What Easter Proves. Verse 6, He is not here, but He has risen. Remember how He spoke to you while He was still in Galilee. That old tomb is empty. There's nobody there. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Father, I pray you'll refresh us, those of us who know you, that today would be a day of garnering new zeal, new passion, new enthusiasm, because we serve a risen Savior. Bless those, Lord, who've never trusted in Christ, that today would be that day they would make that life-changing commitment and have that definite personal salvation experience. We lift up the time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Easter. It's a holiday when most Americans buy, color, and hide Easter eggs, about $21 million of them. It's a time for buying Easter baskets, about $5.5 billion of them. And parents will put 90 million chocolate Easter eggs in those baskets. 3 years ago, the number one way Americans celebrated Easter was by visiting family and friends. 3 years ago, the number two way Americans celebrated Easter was by having a meal together. However, back in the 1950s, over 90% of all Americans celebrated Easter by going to church together as a family. That was the way that they celebrated it back in the 50s. Last week, a Rasmussen poll found that of 1,000 Americans surveyed, 40% said they'll be going to church today, 40%. So we've gone from over 90% in the 50s to 40% today. I realize we're recovering from a pandemic. So why 3 years before the COVID pandemic was going to church on Easter Sunday not a top priority for most Americans? I guess the real question is the event we're celebrating today really important? Since only half of Americans know that Easter is about the resurrection of Jesus, maybe I'll ask the question this way. Does Christ's resurrection mean something so powerfully profound that it should be the most important thing in our lives for the rest of our lives? Why should it matter for believers? In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul wrote, if Christ is not raised, our faith is in vain. We're still in our sins. We have no hope of going to heaven or seeing our saved loved ones who've died up in heaven. But because of what Jesus did on Easter Sunday, oh friend, we have proof we can be forgiven, walk with God, go to heaven, and see our deceased saved family members up in heaven. So the question is this, is there anything else in life more important than Christ's resurrection from the dead? And the answer is no, there is not. True to our Lord's promises, on that first Easter Sunday, the women went to the tomb and found the stone moved, the guards gone, Christ's body gone, the angels flashing like lightning. And they said, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he is risen as he said. Remember what he said to you in Galilee. He'd be handed over to sinful men, crucified on the third day, rise again. And suddenly the women remembered and ran to tell the apostles, and suddenly Christ's resurrection was the number one most important event in their lives. Friend, it should be in our lives as well. And that's because of the three facts Easter proves. What are the three facts that Easter proves? Number one, Easter proves our faith is reasonable. It is reasonable. Again, he is not here. He has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. Not only did Jesus predict he'd be delivered to Gentiles, he predicted he would be mocked, mistreated, spit on, scourged, killed, betrayed, and raised the third day. Believing Jesus is who he claimed to be requires all his predictions he made come true, and they did. And since our faith is built on the Old Testament as well as the New, it requires all the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah be fulfilled by Jesus, and they were. The Old Testament said the Messiah would be despised, mocked, oppressed, silent, betrayed, beaten, spit on, hated without cause, numbered with transgressors, stripped of his clothing, have his hands and feet pierced, numbered with the transgressors, buried in a rich man's tomb, die for sins, but best of all, the Old Testament said when the Messiah died, his body would not undergo decay, but that God would prolong his days. And after his death, the Messiah would be able to speak to his brethren in the midst of the congregation, and will I praise thee. I love that verse. In order to conclude Christianity is right and reasonable, and all the other world religions are wrong and unreasonable, it is imperative Jesus rise from the dead, and he did. Our faith is not based on what someone said or someone believed or how someone felt. But what did Jesus say and what did he do? And what did the Old Testament prophets say he would do? And did he do it? And the answer is yes. He rose from the grave, and therefore it is reasonable to conclude that Jesus is the Messiah, and he is Lord, and all of his promises are true. He said, my word is truth. The resurrection of Jesus narrows down all the choices of which faith is the one to believe down to one. And that one is the one whose founder came back from the dead, and all the others did not. Muhammad's body is buried underneath a green dome in Medina, Saudi Arabia. Don't plan on going there. There's a few teeth and bones left of Buddha in the Shwe Dagon Temple in Yangon, Myanmar. Don't plan on going there. Under a grass-covered mound in Shantung, China, is the skeleton of old Confucius. Not going there. In Hebron, Israel, the Cave of the Patriarchs is Abraham's tomb. I might go there. But the only place where we have to memorialize Jesus is an empty garden tomb in Jerusalem with a sign on it that says, he is not here, he is risen, just as he said. Easter proves our faith is right and reasonable and our Bibles are true. Now, there are those who choose a religious faith based on how it makes them feel. If Hare Krishna, Hinduism, Heaven's Gate makes them feel good, well, then that's what they choose. Friend, I want to believe something based on fact and history and geography and science and archaeology, and this all leads me to the Christian faith and the empty tomb in Jerusalem. Christianity is not a blind faith without facts and history. It is a reasonable faith. It's a defensible faith. And that's why when Paul entered the synagogue, he would reason with them from the scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. Jesus not only fulfilled Old Testament scriptures about his death and resurrection, he not only predicted his own death and resurrection. Acts 1:3 says, he presented himself alive by many infallible proofs, showing himself on one occasion to over 500 brethren at one time. Imagine that. Since 500 people don't have the same hallucination at the same time, it's reasonable to conclude Jesus rose from the dead as the prophet said the Messiah would, as Jesus said he would. Wayne Rossiter said he grew up in a nominally committed Christian home. And growing up, he loved dinosaurs and biology. When he went to college, he said he was a lukewarm Christian. But in less than a year of college biology courses, Wayne told his mother, I no longer believe in God. He got a bachelor's degree in biology, a master of science in zoology from Ohio State, PhD in evolution from Rutgers. And Wayne said, I became a cantankerous atheist. He said, my hero was Richard Dawkins and other atheist scientists who belittled Christians. But then Wayne said, I began thinking. Hey, that's always a good thing to do. Thinking is a good thing to do. He said, if Darwin is right that molecules lead to cells and cells lead to organs and organs lead to bodies, then we're really just wet machines and we have no purpose in life. And he said, that bothered me. He began reading some of the writings of Stand to Reason Ministries that has numerous writings about the proof of God's existence and the reliability of the scripture and the evidence for the resurrection. In the winter of 2008, Wayne returned from atheism and turned from evolution, and he turned back to Jesus. He was offered a very high-paying, prestigious job on the West Coast, where he'd be expected to teach evolution as absolute fact. He turned it down and took a teaching job at a Christian college in Pennsylvania, ironically named Waynesburg University. That's a real school, Waynesburg. Everybody been to Waynesburg? Ever heard of it? It's a real place. Well, today Dr. Wayne teaches students why Christian theism is superior to Darwinian evolution and atheism, and why a biblical worldview of biology is superior to an evolutionary materialistic chance view of biology. Make no mistake, friend, it's the resurrection of Jesus that affirms our faith is true and our Bible is true. Jesus said, "My word is truth," and the way we know it is because he rose from the grave to prove it is so. Dr. Gary Habermas is probably the greatest living expert on the resurrection alive, and he recently was asked, what are the two greatest proofs for the resurrection of Jesus? He said, number one, there's four independent biographies written by men that all have women as the first witnesses of the empty tomb and the risen Christ. He said the only reason these men wrote the women in the story is because the women were actually in the story. The second greatest proof of the resurrection was that it was first preached in Jerusalem, not Alexandria, not Antioch, but Jerusalem, the place where the empty tomb was. Everyone knew which tomb it was. Everyone knew extra security precautions were taken to make sure the body of Jesus was not stolen. Therefore, when the tomb was found empty and no one could produce the body, that gave even more evidence he was alive. And that doesn't even include the facts that all the apostles but John died martyrs' deaths for preaching Jesus was alive. Now, you might die for a lie not knowing it's a lie, but you won't die for a lie if you know it's a lie. And they all went on to preach Jesus to the point of being martyred for their faith. And Paul said there's over 500 brethren alive in Jerusalem that saw him alive, and you go back, talk to them if you don't believe me. Put it all together, it's reasonable to believe Jesus rose from the dead. Dr. Habermas at Liberty University says, even your most vicious vocal critics of Christianity at secular universities, guys like Bart Ehrman, he said they will agree and concede the five minimal facts. What are the five minimal facts? Number one, that Jesus died by crucifixion. That the disciples were sincerely convinced he rose from the dead and appeared to them. Number three, that Paul, Saul of Tarsus, who was a persecutor of Christians, suddenly changed his beliefs about Christianity. That James, the brother of Jesus, who was a skeptic of the Christian faith, suddenly changed his beliefs toward Christianity. And five, that the tomb of Jesus was found empty 3 days after the crucifixion. Even university scholars of all stripes and beliefs at secular schools, not believers, concede the five minimal historical facts since they are undisputed. And still the best explanation for these facts is that Jesus rose from the dead. Professor of law at Harvard, Simon Greenleaf, said there's more evidence for the resurrection than just about any other event in history. Dr. Thomas Arnold, chair of history at Oxford, he said, I know of no one fact in the history of mankind better proven by fuller evidence of every sort that the great sign God has given us, that Christ died and rose from the dead. Friend, Easter is important because the resurrection of Jesus is important. Why is it important? Because it proves our faith is reasonable. Paul said, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you're still in your sins. The resurrection of Jesus is so important, it is the deciding factor on whether or not our faith is reasonable or not. I want you to know it's reasonable. And that's why I'm a Christian, not a Buddhist, not a Muslim, not a Hindu, not a Confucius, and not a Jew. Easter says Christianity is right and every other religion on the face of the earth is wrong. But that's not all it proves. Easter proves forgiveness is available. It is available. Romans 4:25, He, Jesus, was delivered up because of our transgressions and raised again because of our justification. What does that mean? It means Jesus was raised from the dead so we can be confident he has the power to forgive us of our sins. The Bible says if Jesus is not raised, we're still in our sins. The opposite of that is true. Since he's been raised, we can be forgiven of our sins. The resurrection is God's guarantee that Jesus has the authority to forgive us of our sins. In Luke 5, Jesus told a paralytic who was lowered down through a roof, your sins are forgiven. The religious leaders scowled and made awful faces, and Jesus said, "Well, you tell me, what's easier to say, your sins are forgiven or get up and walk?" Saying something that couldn't be confirmed was certainly a lot easier than doing something only God can do. Jesus read their thoughts and he said, "So that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he told that paralytic, "I tell you, get up, pick up your mat, and go home," and he did. Can you say boom shakalaka? That's not in my message. I just threw that in there. It happened. Boom. Jesus died for sins and rose from the dead to prove we can be forgiven and just as if we'd never sinned before God. That's the good news of the gospel. Jesus has the authority to forgive you and me of every sin we've ever committed and every sin we shall commit in the future. I like world records. I like Easter world records. Here's a few Easter world records in the Guinness Book of World Records. The largest Easter egg tree comes from Santa Catarina, Brazil. In 2017, they put 82,000 real eggs on a tree. I don't think the tree smelled good about a week later, but the 82,000. Largest chocolate Easter bunny ever weighed in at 9,400 pounds in Brazil, 2017. That's not on Weight Watchers. Most expensive chocolate egg sold at auction without any jewels, only chocolate, $11,107. Why, my goodness, that's about the trade-in of my car. I'm going to keep it. Longest rabbit, United Kingdom, 4 feet, 3 inches long. That's a big bunny. Here, all the way to the ground. That's a big bunny. Well, did the U.S. have any records in the world records? Absolutely. Cypress Gardens, Winter Haven, Florida, holds the Guinness Book of Records for the biggest Easter egg hunt in history. April 1st, 2007, 9,753 children plus their parents hunted Cypress Gardens for a half million eggs. We had some of our church members that were there that day. Now, I wondered if they actually hit them. The member that was there said, I'd probably not. I think they just dropped them out of a helicopter. I don't know how that worked, but at any rate. Here's another Easter record, not in the books, but it should be. Number of believers who have proof, and I mean sleep well on your MyPillow at night proof, that what happened on that first Easter Sunday gives us the assurance our sins are forgiven. That number ought to be in the millions and millions, because every true believer alive today has the proof. He was raised for our justification, so we'd be forgiven and know we're right with God. Without the resurrection, there is no forgiveness. If Christ be not raised, you're still in your sins. But since he's been raised, we have proof we can be forgiven and released from our sins. And more than proof, we have a guarantee. He has the power to forgive every single sin we've ever committed and every one we will till we breathe our last. I like guarantees. I really do. When I worked at the Sears catalog desk while I was in college, I can tell you that Sears in that time would take back just about anything anybody brought back. One day an elderly fella came in with a pocket knife. It was a Craftsman. He said, "I bought this in 1948 and I was working on something, broke off the blade." And I asked my manager, "What do I do?" He said, "It's Craftsman. Get him a new one. No questions, no receipt, nothing." We mailed it to his house. Didn't even charge him shipping for it. Costco has a guarantee that if you ever want your membership feedback, they'll give it to you, no questions. Not to be outdone, I didn't know this, Sam's Club has a guarantee on their meat, their produce, and baked goods. If you don't like the food, you tell them, they'll give you double your money back. Hampton Inn, Garden Inn, Embassy Suites, if you're not satisfied, you don't pay for the night. How about this guarantee? If you've ever bought and worn Red Wing shoes, if you have them 29 days and you decide you don't like them, bring them back with a receipt, and they will give you an exchange or refund, your decision, no questions. Even though you've had them for a whole month, they'll give you money back. Isn't that cool? Keep the shoes. Don't take them back. They're good. Now, these are great guarantees, but they're not. They are not. They are not. Here we go. They're not the greatest guarantee. The greatest guarantee is that Jesus forgives the sins of all who call on him by faith, and that guarantee is based on, rooted in, grounded in the fact he rose from the dead, which means he is God. And as God, he has the power to forgive us of our sin. So today is a day about more than Easter eggs and chocolate bunnies and jelly beans. I like all those things. I even like little peeps. I started to bring them up here and set them there and say, "Hey, I got my peeps here today." I didn't bring them. Anyway. But friends, I want you to know today is a day about more than all that. It's about having the proof and the guarantee that all my rotten, stinking, vile, wretched, miserable, no good sins can be forgiven, and yours too. Easter proves our faith is reasonable. It proves our faith, our forgiveness is available. Faith is reasonable, forgiveness available. Number three, our future is desirable. It's desirable. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. If Jesus hadn't risen from the grave, had he not been raised from the dead, we'd be a bunch of miserable folk. We'd have no hope of going to heaven and getting a glorified body. If he weren't raised, our best hope would be when we die, we stay in the grave and become worm food, and that would be the best hope we have. Psalm 17:14 says, the men of this world, unbelievers, have their portion in this life. What does that mean? That means this is all they have, and it's all they're going to get, and they have no guarantee, no promise, no proof of going to heaven or becoming like Christ. Can we fault them? Their motto is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But since Christ has been raised from the dead, he is the first fruits of those who sleep. It's no coincidence our Lord died on Passover and he was raised on the first fruits, which is Easter Sunday. Leviticus 23 says that people were to bring a sheaf of grain to the priest on first fruits, and he would wave it publicly in the air as proof there's a lot more to come. Friend, Jesus was the first person to be raised in a glorified body, and by presenting himself to the Father and his disciples on Easter Sunday, he became the proof there's more to come. And his followers, Christian, you and I, will be one day raised in glorified bodies just like his. The resurrection is the proof that one of these days that trumpet's going to sound, and all the bodies of believers that have died, their bodies in the dust, but their spirits are still and soul are up in heaven, be reunited. Soul and spirit and body will all be reunited one day. And the bodies of all those believers alive on the earth will be glorified to meet Jesus in the air. Christ's resurrected, glorified body was the prototype, the proof. We'll be like him when the trumpet sounds. And that's why he's called the first fruits of those who slept. Jesus was the first person to get a glorified body that'll never die again. Never die again. Jairus' daughter was raised to die again. Widow-named son, raised to die again. Lazarus, raised to die again. Jesus was raised in a glorified body that'll never die again. His resurrection is proof that he will return, and when he does, we'll get a body just like his. And his resurrection is the proof that one of these days we'll join our saved loved ones up in heaven. We'll join our saved loved ones up in heaven. Christian, do you have any saved loved ones up in heaven right now? You have any there? Don't you miss them? Don't you miss them? I know I do. Your grandparents, your mom, your dad, brother, sister, child, grandchild, wife, spouse, husband. Don't you miss them? Listen, if seeing them again is important, then the resurrection of Jesus is at least that important, because it's the resurrection of Jesus that guarantees we're going to see him again. Think about that. Is today important? If seeing your loved ones that have died again is important, the resurrection of Jesus is at least that important. It's more important. The first vocal group to become country music stars made their first recording in Bristol, Tennessee in 1927. The Carter family, under producer Ralph Peer, recorded two songs that still mean a whole lot to me. Number one, Keep on the Sunny Side, Always on the Sunny Side. I can hear my dad singing and whistling that song. Maybe you know of loved ones in the past that have done that too. And number two, the one they did was Will the Circle Be Unbroken? Recalls the pain of watching loved ones die and be buried and longs for that future day when the family will all be reunited and the circle will be unbroken. In that song, the lyrics ask, Undertaker, Undertaker, would you please, please drive slow for the body that you carry? Lord, I hate to see her go. I thought about those. help load my mama in the hearse. And I help load my brother in the hearse. Those lyrics pop back to my mind. But it goes on. Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. How do we know there's a better home awaiting? How do we know there's coming a day when the circle will be unbroken and all the family will be reunited? How do we know that? We know it because of Easter, because we serve a risen Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what the resurrection of Jesus proves, what it guarantees, affirms, that is and will be. And God, we are so thankful that we serve a risen Savior. Lord, our hearts go out to all those around the world worshiping dead founders whose bodies can be found in tombs. And God, we have an empty tomb. We serve a risen Savior. Lord, I pray you'll refresh the heart of every believer who's heard this today. And if there's one here in the audience or watching online or in the gym and they've never received Jesus as their Lord, as their King and Savior, that today they would just quietly, where no one around them hears, pray something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying to save me on the old rugged cross. Thank you for taking my sins on yourself. Please forgive me now. I believe you rose from the dead, and I believe you have the right to be in charge of my life. Please save me now and help me be your fully devoted follower. And friend, if you'll pray that from the heart, God will hear and he will save. He will save you now. And Christian, you might want to just pray that God will help you recommit your life to him, to discover the zeal and passion and excitement that you knew years ago, that once again, that commitment that changed your life would again continue to guide you and lead you in every decision you make. Father, for those looking for a church home, if Scott Lake is where you want them, let it be clear. Father, we pray you'd have your will and your way at this invitational time, both to those in the gym, those watching online, those here in this building. God, we thank you we serve a risen Savior. We ask your blessings now in Jesus' powerful and precious name. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and you made a commitment or you have questions about a commitment, that little card is your communication means to letting me know so I can contact you. Please fill that out. Is the offering plate is the back? Just put that card. It's all you need to put in the offering plate, and I'll contact you. Let me know if you made a commitment, all right? Don't be secret about it. Don't be silent about it. Man, be out with it. Be open about it. Be glad about it, and we'll continue to guide you and help you. That is why we exist as a church. Thank you for being here today. Don't forget, there's no evening service tonight, but we will be meeting Wednesday night. And hope to see you back then, all right? God bless you. It's a great day. It's a great day. Let's stand to be dismissed. And Brother Allen, if you wouldn't mind, thank the Lord for the privilege of allowing us to incorporate giving in our worship.
Yes, today, because we have faith, because we have forgiveness, and because we have a future, we can rejoice. But we can also give. And that's our opportunity as we go out today to give so that people, souls, individuals here in Lakeland and around the world might come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they might be exposed to the gospel, the good news, as we were at one time or many times. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for your grace, your mercy, your love. We thank you for your word as it's been presented today, that we might know that we do have the assurance of your resurrection. We have salvation in Christ Jesus. not just because we wish to, not just because we want to, but because you proved it. You showed us. You demonstrated to us. And Lord, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us, all that you're doing right now, and all that you will do in the future. Bless us as we go from this place today, that we might go in the power and in the spirit of Jesus Christ and your resurrection. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. See you Wednesday.